Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. And we teased it before the break, Dave, the line of scrimmage. You know, the Bears won, I thought, on both sides of the ball, and that made a huge difference in that game. You know, you look at Rodgers, he didn't have a great game, but he didn't have a lot of time. He didn't have a lot of ability to get things done. They've had their problems up front as well. Just winning the line of scrimmage can go a long way in this league.
Well, absolutely. You know, and the easiest thing for offensive linemen to do is run block. You know, those guys like the run block because they don't get exposed out there one-on-one. You don't have to be as athletic run blocking as you do pass blocking. I mean, that's pretty common sense. So they enjoy run blocking. So now a couple other points, and I think the Bears have this, and Bears have a little advantage of this over Green Bay when you think about this now. So you say, okay, the linemen want – now, where's the offensive coordinator and the head coach? Are they committed to running the ball? And Chicago is. I'm not sure about Green Bay. You know, I'm really not, you know. And then do you have the people to do it? And right now, the Bears, with their running backs, you know, with Cohen and Howard, I mean, the Bears have an advantage there. Green Bay's trying to run the ball with Ty Montgomery, an ex receiver. Yeah, from Stanford. Think about that, guys. So, I mean.
But just think about that. A week before, everyone's talking about Jordan Howard getting two or fewer yards for 11 of his 13 carries. He can't get going. Can't get to. I mean, Dal Logans was talking about getting him in the second level on Thursday. And then, you know, what? It's amazing what can happen when you don't trail by a score or two and you actually play from a lead for most of the game.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, coaches go away from that too quick. You know, sometimes guys fall behind right away and. You know, I remember Bill Parcells telling me, I might have mentioned this on the air before when I was interviewing my first or second coordinator. He says, Dave, remember this. All those offensive coordinators will tell you they believe in running the ball in meetings to get the job, but very few of them want to. He says, the minute that they have a chance to throw it, they want to throw it. So I think you gotta have a guy that's gonna be patient enough, or the head coach. And in this case, Foxy being a defensive guy, he knows the importance of the running game. Sometimes you gotta just stay with it. You might surprise yourself.
But,
you know?
But I think Brian's onto something. I think that they had to run the ball in this game, not just because they were ahead, but because of what had happened in Tampa. When they didn't run the ball.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
They ran into these turnovers and the game was over. Before it began, and we talk about commitment to the run, but really it takes getting a lucky touchdown, getting whatever it is,
to
really get you going with the running game.
And you got to have confidence with it. I mean, and I think after last week's games, the Bears do have confidence with it. No, but they're right. I mean, I thought you were going to give me a Woody Hayes quote there, Mike. You know? What he said, why would I throw the ball when two out of three things happen can be bad?
Right.
I'm going to hand it off to whoever, you know, Archer Griffin. But
it's not the yards you get, it's the number of runs that matter.
Right. So I think the Bears, you know, but you have to have confidence in running the ball, too. It all sounds good in a clinic. You know, I used to say, don't give me that, tell my coaches, don't give me that clinic talk. You know, it all sounds good when you're talking to 500 high school coaches. But let's talk about what's real. What can we do? What really works? And so I think they come out of this game confident in running the game. The offensive line's excited. And now you carry it forward. You add a few play-action passes off
of it.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Now you take the next step and you get a few shots down the field. If you can't run the ball, who would bite up on play-action
passes? At the end of that game, and there was no doubt Jordan Howard was running the ball with 18, 19 yards of those last couple carries, he was turning his body to take the hit on the left side because he's favoring that right shoulder, which was hurt. He came out twice. You know, there was talk that he wasn't going back into the game. He's back in the game. Now that you only have 3 days or so to get back here, I mean, I don't know how serious that injury is. I'm not even sure what exactly is going on with the shoulder. But when you see a guy actually, you know, knows the hit's coming and he's going to protect that shoulder. Is that a concern moving into Green Bay?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, because you can't shy away from the running game. If he can't play because he's banged up, you got to stay with the running game and give it to Cohen. The point that I was going to make, the touchdown to the tight end,
Shaheen.
I mean, that was a great example. If you look at that play up close, I mean, Mike Lennon did a great job on the play fake. They were in the I formation.
Guy pretends to block, steps out.
And he came flying up to stop the run. That's the benefits of running the ball. You're going to get plays like that. If you're not consistently running the ball, people ignore those plays.
It's weird. We're three games in, and the Bears have found the identity we thought they'd have when they opened the season. Mm-hmm. Is that because Kyle Long wasn't available? Is that
No.
Why did it take so long?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the commitment to doing it more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes there's so much focus on the quarterback position that that's where your attention is, and maybe you just said, we're not going to give the quarterback too much stuff. We're going to focus on the running game. That's going to be our priority. We're going to maximize what we can do there. Spend our meeting time with the coaches on the run game. Spend our practice reps not getting these quarterbacks ready. Let's spend our practice reps with the run game and what we can do to perfect this. So you only have so many plays. I used to say, get 15 ideas on the board with some of these guys. I used to, go in there and I grab the eraser and erase it. So you got 15 plays up there on the board, and we got 10 plays in practice. Now, how are we going to get good? I don't care which ones. Erase five of them. Take five off. Yeah. Can't practice at all.
You were telling us that you've got the Illinois-Nebraska game Friday. So Big Ten now with the Friday showcase games. That's a short week for them, too, a day shorter anyway. Interesting, Jim Harbaugh coming out yesterday. Mm. With the just ripping into Purdue, saying I'm not picking on Purdue, but talking about the visiting facilities for visiting teams. And look, it's cute. When I was covering the Big Ten, you go to Iowa and see the pink locker room that Hayden Fry put in there.
Sure.
And there's two benches bolted to the floor, and it's basically a walk-in closet. But he's really saying, and we've talked about players' rights and treating them. He said that the table they gave him to have trainers to operate or work on guys had a big rip on it. Looked like it came from the 50s.
Sure. That's the way it is. I mean, go to Rutgers. I mean, there's a lot of places. But here's the key. Jim was, the temperature, Jim, you're already into a debate here. I'm doing a Big Ten show later. I'm sure it's going to be half the topic. Jim said it was 110 or something.
Right, it was a 90-degree day, certainly.
Well, the Purdue people said, no, it was 82 degrees. And then he said it was four blocks at a hospital. The Purdue people said, no, it was two blocks. So now we're into that. Here's the key, though. Before you make a trip, every summer when I would get – we had our away trips, okay, at the Bears. And NFL college was the same way. Okay, we're going to play the Chargers this year. My Timmy LaFever, my football ops guy, would go to San Diego. He would find the hotel. He would go through the facilities. He would do everything. And if there were any problems, he came back to me in April or May and said, "Coach, we got a problem here, I think." And what is it, Tim? Well, this, the locker room or the training room or the distance from the hotel, whatever it might be. Police escorts.
That's the attention to detail you go into, right?
Yeah, but you did it in college, too. And I believe that it's going to come out that Michigan, Jim's not going to miss a beat. Jim's got it all covered. And I would be shocked if Michigan did not go to Purdue and check things out earlier. I don't know.
Well, that's what Purdue said. They said they were here in July, so why weren't they raising the issues then?
Thank you. Why didn't you say that in the beginning? I wouldn't have to go through my whole 10-minute talk there.
But he was letting the kids go on the bus. He was letting the kids go on the bus because it was air conditioned.
But I remember talking to Phil Jackson about his playing career, and he said that would you go to Boston Garden, you would go in and they'd have a single nail hammered in.
Yeah.
And so you'd have to figure out, you started out trying to figure out how to get all your clothes on the nail.
Right.
So you could go, and guys, their jackets would fall or something. And you were wrestling around with your clothes. Then they would come in and they'd give you the tickets before the game. So you're arranging the tickets for the people coming to the game. And this is stuff that the team would handle nowadays, and you'd never go, and everybody would get confused by the time you got to the game.
It's home court advantage.
It's totally home court advantage. Yeah. That's the way you do it.
I'll give you another example. When I was at Pitt, we would travel everybody, and we used to, because our ops guy would come back and say, "Coach, that locker room is tight," we would dress in shifts. When we got off the bus, all the guys who were like redshirt freshmen and stuff like that, I would send them to the field. Okay, you guys don't go in the locker room. You go in the field. Wait, no, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And then we would dress and tape the starters, and then the backups, you can go in the locker room, kind of get ready, but stay out of the training room. Okay? You can't go in the bathroom. You got to hold it. These guys go. What? I'm serious.
What?
You think
it's
I'm kidding?
Hysterical.
What was the worst place that you had to take your team into?
Rutgers wasn't much fun. I don't know. I could start listing them. You know.
Hey, just for parallelism's sake, I believe Marcus Cooper went to Rutgers. So we've opened and closed on the same note.
There we go. I've had enough.
All right, Dave.
Good
thank
to see you,
and Todd. Great to see you. That's hysterical. It's Mully and Handley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Handley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Brad Biggs joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your car ready for fall weather? See your Car X man. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this program, and he's our dear personal friend, Big Z.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, Quentin Debs is the latest injury, I guess, and Brad, I don't know. He's got a broken arm, but apparently he's not shut down for the year, which is curious.
Well, I would think there's at least a decent possibility that surgery is required.
Yeah.
There's probably a possibility that he could end up on injured reserve.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to put a guy on IR and think about a designation for return, typically you want to do that as soon as possible because there's a clock associated with it, and the clock doesn't start until it should place the player on injured reserve. That's why it's good news that Nick Kwiatkowski hasn't been placed on IR, because I think if they thought that it was going to take 8 weeks, which is the minimum for that designated to return off IR, they would have certainly made that transaction last week. So we'll see what lies ahead for Demps this week. Maybe we'll get a better read on the situation with Jaronis Grassou, who suffered a right hand injury, which is his snapping hand. I think that's important to note in the game. And
he came back out, Bigsy, with a cast on, presumably.
Big old club.
And presumably in case he had to play guard, right?
That would be my guess.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the cast was off after the game, but they put casts on, take them off, put them on, take them off. You know, they don't have to make an appointment to see the orthopedist to get that done, like we do, not playing professional football. So. Maybe we'll get a read on his situation. And then, of course, Josh Sitton, who, if the Bears had practiced yesterday, they said he would have been limited in the injury report that was released. He's had the rib injury since the Tampa Bay game.
Big Z, if you look at the defense as a whole this season, how good is it? I see your grades. Some of them are middling for the different units on the defense, but the cornerbacks graded out well after you looked at the tape. But certainly, you know, they were put in bad position time and again at Tampa, and you know, really short fields, I mean, including a 13-yard field at one point. But they kept the clamps down in Atlanta's offense pretty well, too. How good are they right now, and can that travel to Green Bay and give them reason to believe they could make that game interesting?
Well, I think they're improved over a year ago. I know they're improved over a year ago. And can they travel to Green Bay? I think two things travel. Or can travel in the NFL, and it's defense, and I think a running game can travel in the NFL as well, especially if you've really got it rolling. We'll see. The Bears' run game did not get on the plane to Tampa, but that doesn't mean it can't travel up to Lambeau Field later this week to face the Packers. You know, the thing that was really encouraging to me coming out of this game was that the cornerbacks were there when the ball was arriving. And they had six passes defended between the three of them, being Fuller, Amukamara, and Cooper. And truthfully, probably one, maybe two of them could have or should have resulted in an interception. But, hey, baby steps for a defense that has struggled to get passes broken up, let alone interceptions in the past. I think you want to see a little more from Leonard Floyd in terms of impact plays after three games. But Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman have been tremendous up front. I think they're getting nice rotational snaps. I know they are from Mitch Unrein and Jonathan Bullard and even Roy Robertson-Harris on that defensive line. So that's really been a bright spot for them. And that's where it starts. You can't play good defense without being really good up front.
You know, the schedule is a little peculiar.
Brutal. So three of their first four games are against teams that qualified for the playoffs last season. The Bears are one of only two teams to be put in that situation. And we all know that, you know, the 2016 record is not always a great indication of how that team's going to perform in 2017. But in, you know, some cases, let's face it, it is an indication of the quality of the opponent that you're going to be going against. And this schedule will get easier on the back end for the Bears. They've still got to go out and play good football to beat all those teams on their schedule. But, you know, I think that's reason to have some optimism moving forward. They've just got to be able to find a way to pull out more victories in some of the close games.
Yeah, but I guess what I was driving at is the short week followed by, I mean, that's not easy for any team. We talked to Dave Wanstead about it. It's a lot easier when you win. You know, you feel better about yourself. Yeah. You have a better, you know, take on it. But the Bears look like a team that's pretty good at home and maybe not so good on the road. Do they have to buck that trend immediately?
Yeah, if you want to do anything with your season, you know. And this short week, I agree. A lot easier to – you got a lot more pep in your step going into a short week if you're coming off a victory because they are playing a divisional opponent. That makes things a little bit easier. You know, they've done a ton of prep work on the Packers. Same coaching staff, same offense, same defense. You know, there's not a lot of really new wrinkles, I think, to what the Packers are doing. They do what they do, and they do it quite well. So from that standpoint, it's not a huge hurdle for them. And then while it is a road game, you don't have an easier trip to make in the National Football League than heading up there. So I think that makes it a little bit easier for them too. But you're right; they've got to get better on the road. They've got to get better all around. Remember, Fox couldn't win at Soldier Field at one point. So they're showing some signs, but until you can, you know, stack victories, I think it's tough to make a real strong case that the corner's been turned.
And Green Bay's dealing with its own injury issues.
A lot of injuries.
And the offensive line, just like the Bears, not exactly what they'd hoped it'd be. Both tackles are banged up, right?
Yeah, I think the top three offensive tackles for the Packers are injured, which is bad news for Aaron Rodgers, especially with the Bears playing well in the front seven. If you want to have a chance to beat the Packers, you've got to find a way to get after Rodgers. And that's a tough spot for Green Bay getting ready for any opponent.
What do you make of the fact that that Leonard Floyd has not been the force we saw in the preseason?
Yeah, missed a sack, right? He had Roethlisberger, and Roethlisberger sort of ducked under it. Now, Big Ben is not super mobile, but he's very difficult to bring down. That's why when Callahan came on that corner blitz, it was one of only, I counted them up, four or five times the Bears brought more than a four-man pressure against Roethlisberger, and it was the one. And Callahan's coming at him from behind, and Bryce Callahan just trying to tackle Roethlisberger from behind, not a real smart move. He just went for the ball, and that resulted in the turnover with the fumble that Akeem Hicks recovered. You know, because Roethlisberger just dwarfs Callahan, but Callahan was smart about it. Sometimes you see guys try to bring Ben down, and they almost bounce off of him.
All right,
so Floyd. Yeah, Floyd. Floyd's got to we got to see some impact plays. We saw that great pass rush in the first preseason game against the Broncos. We need more of that.
No question. Biggsy, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Tribune.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. We love our chance to talk to Mike Florio. Good morning, Mike.
What do you say, guys?
You know, you wrote a really interesting item about the anthem protests. My question, I guess, I want to start with is, how much of this is on Roger Goodell? I mean, the guy makes $44 million a year. Obviously, they thought the way to solve this was to keep Kaepernick out of the league, or if he's not around, it'll end. Whoever did what, and the president just jumped on it because it was sitting there. But wasn't it just sitting there? Why not do something to kind of...
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sorry, absolutely. Here's what happened week one. The Cleveland Browns put together a video that was played before the anthem. It was a video that allowed their concerns regarding social justice and racial equality to be articulated. And then they played the anthem, and guess what? Everybody stood for the anthem. And that was a team that had the biggest demonstration we had seen back in the preseason after Charlottesville. So that was the Browns discovering plutonium by accident, because it's rare that the Browns would actually deliberately do something good. And the NFL's reaction to that, because... we tried to kind of float this, hey, maybe you guys should look at doing this for every game, for every team. This is a way to take the protests away from the anthem, because the anthem was the only platform. When Colin Kaepernick decides he's not happy with the experience of the African-American male in modern-day America, how else is he going to express it within the confines of a football game? How else can you do it? The anthem is just sitting there begging for someone to do something different from the accepted norm of standing with hand over heart. So if you can create a separate way, apart from the anthem, to allow these concerns, valid concerns, to be addressed, we get away from this red state, blue state, you're wrong, I'm right, there's no middle ground, and there is no middle ground. There are people who are never going to agree that it is respectful to the flag to do anything other than stand, and there are going to be people who never agree that you can't protest without necessarily disrespecting the flag. So let's take it out of the anthem altogether. And this is where the league office should have after week one. If they'd done it after week one, this never happens in week three. And now that it's happened in week three, they need to show leadership. And that doesn't mean mandates. That means work with every team, get everyone to buy in, and come up with a way, team by team, to express these concerns on a weekly basis apart from the anthem.
Well, how do you get 32 teams to agree on what to do here? Is it a 2-3 week thing? Is it a season-long thing? And no one knows how this is going to play out. We do know that the game operations manual has been reported. Has rules specifying players standing at attention and all that. Obviously, the league said they're not fining or punishing any team for what's gone on, but will you get uniformity of opinion moving forward?
Well, and this is where leadership comes in, right? This is why you have a commissioner. This is why you have a league office. You use that power and you use that influence, because it's not just do what I say. It's using that office and using that skill set, assuming the skill set is there, to persuade the players, persuade the teams, persuade the owners to buy into some separate vehicle for allowing these concerns to be articulated and expressed apart from the anthem. It's stripping it away from the anthem. What the Cowboys did last night was perfect. If what had happened last night happened throughout the day on Sunday, we got a far different set of issues and discussions and talking points moving into Monday and beyond. You can take the issue away from the anthem, and that's the right way to do it. That's the only way to harmonize and solve this, because we can never convince the people who believe that it always is disrespectful to the flag, the country, and the military to do anything other than stand. So let's try to find a way that allows all concerns to be addressed and that minimizes the controversy that flows from it. Now, am I being overly idealistic? I don't think I am. I don't think it's wrong to have a vision for an NFL that has leadership in place that can make tough issues like this work their way through to a resolution.
Mike, you talked to Jordan Howard, and I found it interesting. I mean, we saw a report last week that that the Bears, you know, there was a lot of people in the locker room upset about the quarterback position. He said it's just not an issue, that no one's really thinking about it.
Boy, it's a lot easier to say that after you beat the Steelers. So. It's nothing like going from 0-2 to 1-2 against a 2-0 team with an overtime victory to clear out any talk of a quarterback controversy. Because, look, that's the reality. When you have a guy who looked as good as Mitch Trubisky did during the preseason and a guy who looked as bad as Mike Glennon did week one and week two, more week two than week one, but that's the most recent example, you're going to have, of course, you're going to have guys who wonder, what the hell are we doing here? We need to do something if we want to have any hope of being competitive this year. And if you can pull off a victory over the Steelers and then go take on a Packers team that has already way too many guys who are injured and come out of there with a win, then all of a sudden the Bears are on the fringes of contention as we go into October.
Well, I don't know how enthusiastically he said it, but it doesn't read like the best endorsement I ever heard. He said, Mike, we know he's the starter. As long as the coach says he's the starter, well, we're all the way behind him. As soon as the coach says he's not the starter, the hell with him.
Well, but you know what? That's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Whatever the coach says is what we do, and we're not going to grumble behind anyone's back, and we're not going to have infighting, and we're not going to show disharmony. I mean, look, if there was a, to use the word from the Favre example 8 years ago in Minnesota, a schism in the locker room over who should be the quarterback, I don't think they get it all together and come out and win that game on Sunday.
You know, it's interesting because I guess now in the wake of some of the stuff the Steelers said, did the Bears win or did the Steelers lose? I mean, it seems like they were very distracted in that game. It seemed like that affected them, the whole, you know, staying in the locker room, standing in the hall there. That affected them more than it affected the Bears.
And see, that's the thing. We look at the issue and we say, wait a minute, this is no excuse for any team because every team had to deal with it. It's like weather. Hey, everybody's got to deal with this. But if it affects different teams differently, mm-hmm. if it's creating, you know, Ben Roethlisberger put on his personal website yesterday, he didn't sleep
at all
on Sunday night. Now, maybe that's an exaggeration, but if he literally didn't sleep on Sunday night, how does that help him get ready to play next Sunday, right? You need to get your sleep. You need to follow your routine. And I know that there are coaches out there who believe that they had players who were affected to the point that it rendered them ineffective on Sunday because they stayed up too late worrying about it. They were too concerned about it. They were too wrapped up in it. And every minute that you spend on Saturday and into Sunday worrying about how you're going to respond to the president and how you're going to demonstrate and are you going to demonstrate, am I going to stand, am I going to kneel, what am I going to do, are we staying in the locker room, are we coming out, that's all energy that could be devoted to making sure you know exactly what you're supposed to do the minute the ball is snapped on every given play. And you know, what do you do as a coach? How do you deal with that as a coach when it gets dropped on you? Some guy that you don't know, who has no connection to your team, says something in Alabama, and it throws a wrench into the gears as you're trying to get your football team ready to play on a Sunday. There are some coaches who believe that it was a factor. I mean, no one's going to come out and make that excuse.
Right.
But they believe it was a factor. And how can we look at how big of a deal this was and say that there's no way it was a factor? Surely it was a factor for some teams.
And Mike, I'm sure you're, whenever you talk about this, you get the blowback we do. It's very polarizing. I mean, the vitriol on either side is just amazing to me. But, you know, now I read a story in the business section here in the Tribune today that sponsors, how do they handle this? So with the money they pour in the NFL, when the president is advocating people not show up at games, not spend a dollar on the product, we know the ratings are trending the wrong way. Now, if these, you know, if the fast food places, the car companies, if they all just take their ad money out and say, "We'll wait and see how this plays out," how does that play out?
Well, if that starts to happen, right, that's when we do see some sort of a change get affected, because when the dollars start to flow in the wrong direction, then the action starts occurring, and that's why it's important to get ahead of this. You don't want, if the commissioner does come up with a solution for this, you don't want it to look like a reaction to money actually disappearing. You want it to happen before those things occur. And you know what? Before the sponsors would pull out, maybe they need to communicate with the league office and say, hey, we want you to solve this. You need to come up with a solution. I just don't get the impression that the league office feels the urgency to solve this. And this is my theory/hypothesis. The primary spokesman now at the NFL is Joe Lockhart, who was the press secretary for Bill Clinton. And in the political world, these things come and these things go. And it's just a matter of getting through a news cycle or two or three before it dies down. And I think that Joe Lockhart believes this is going to die down. And I don't think it's going to die down. And even if it does die down, it's not going to go away. Because you're going to have players in every locker room who want to continue to protest during the anthem. And if the president moves on to other things, you're going to have guys in the locker room saying, we made our point. All right, we can't continue to have this. We need to solve this. And I think that's why it's important for the league to solve it now, because it's not going to go away. Even if the president goes away, the issue's not going to go away.
And you know, it really does affect people. I mean, there are people. There are plenty of people. We get plenty of texts from people, and we've had calls of people that aren't going to watch the NFL over this, that are really that upset about it. And you
do
know,
you really believe that, though?
I don't.
I got emails to this effect on Monday, because we talked about it during our show, and I shared a lot of my views on how we got to this point and where we need to go from here. And I got an email from a couple of different people saying, I quit watching the NFL on Sunday because of this, and now I quit watching your show. It's like, well, my show's about the NFL. If you're not watching the NFL, why the hell are you watching my show anyway? So I think a lot of this is just threats made to shape behavior. And don't we see that all the time now in sports? This, all the criticism of ESPN for being left-leaning, they get shouted down by the people on the right because the people on the right just want them to shut up. And they claim that it's because of left-leaning politics that ESPN is hemorrhaging money. That's not the reason,
right?
But it's a convenient way for people to shout people down because they'd rather not hear them at all.
And the media landscape has changed. I understand that. And with the NFL, I mean, there are, you know, the baby boom generation was really the moneymaker for the NFL. And there are people getting older, and just talking to younger guys, they can't devote 3 hours
plus. They
won't
consume it in 4 hour chunks. Yeah,
consume it the way we did.
Hey, but here's the good news. Last night, I don't know if you guys saw this, the Monday night ratings were up 63% over week three last year, in large part because last year's Saints-Falcons game was up against the first, or one of the first presidential debates. So that would explain why there was a major increase last night. And that's, I expected the ratings to be up this year because they were down so low last year. When you compare this year to last year, they should be up. The fact that they're still down this year over last year for the most part, that's not good. But last night, maybe it starts moving in the right direction.
All right, Mike, thanks a ton. Great talking to you as always.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio, NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk. Always a joy to go over the stories of the day with him. All right, want to thank everyone for calling, texting, emailing. Most of all, thanks a ton for listening. It means a lot to us.
We will be back bright and early tomorrow morning with a Cubs clinch. Live at 5, ? Please join us.
Mulley and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.